radio.
That's why I feel like the hunchback every time I get done washing my hands. I feel like a hunchback because I've leaned over. That's good. I'm glad you brought that to our attention. I appreciate you doing that.
Hopefully Roy's not listening.
PSA. I hope he is, Roy. We miss you. Let's start with what's going on in Athens this week with South Carolina and Georgia. I heard on the end of the press box with Brad and Ben, a caller basically say that South Carolina fans are cautiously optimistic. And when I got out of the car, Ben was asking, what does that mean, cautiously optimistic? Because I don't think this is the greatest matchup in the world for Georgia. I don't think that they're just going to destroy South Carolina. They destroyed everybody else that they played. But I don't think South Carolina is the team that's bringing Georgia to its knees. I just can't, especially with the game being in Athens. What are your thoughts on the game?
No, I wouldn't think so. I think, first of all, to be clear, it's going to sound like I'm dogging Georgia, but my hope is that Clemson could face off with Georgia in the college football playoff. I think if Clemson played Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, that'd be awesome. And I don't know who would win that game, but I'd love to see it. So, Georgia fans, I'm not dogging you, but let's just be clear. In the history of college football, one true freshman has ever won a national championship. In 100 and whatever years, one true freshman quarterback has ever led his team to a national championship. Jalen Hurst almost did it last year. He would have been the first guy since 1986 at Oklahoma. And then in the other 100 years before that, no true freshman's done it. He would be only the third freshman to ever lead his team to an SEC championship. Rex Grossman and Jalen Hurst being the other two. So that's a more important statistic than most people can fully understand, I think. So Jake Fromm, it's been a good run. I don't think South Carolina is going to have quite what it takes to shut down Georgia and come out with a W between the hedges. But I think South Carolina could come out and have a little success. I think Georgia's defense is tougher probably than their running game. I think they haven't played teams that are very good at stopping the run. I think their defense is stout. But think about this. Georgia Tech averages 10 pass attempts a game, okay? Never throws the ball, right? Georgia is averaging like 16 a game. Just six more pass attempts a game than Georgia Tech, who runs a triple option offense.
That gives you a
little bit of a window of how rarely they throw the ball.
Yeah, it's not altogether surprising because we know how they played this year, but when you put them side by side and you see how similarly, at least from a play calling standpoint, that they are skewed, then it still is. I mean, I'm a little surprised by that.
So you think, well, Alabama's won a national championship handing it off a lot, right? I mean, Derrick Henry years, I mean, they just handed it to the running back, right? Well, even in those years, they still average throwing the ball like 30 times a game, 27 attempts, 30 attempts. And this year they're averaging 24, which is way down, but that's a lot more than 16. And they're blowing people out too. So Georgia is not following a formula so far that anyone in modern day college football has used to win a national championship. This is caveman football. This is caveman football. You're bigger, you're stronger than the people you're playing. There are high school teams that do that, and then they get to the playoffs, and usually in the upper state championship, somewhere around there, all of a sudden, they play somebody else that's capable of hitting them in the mouth just as hard as they are, and they don't have a backup plan. There's no release valve. That's it. You know, we just run it down your throat. Uh-oh. You can hit us just as hard as we can hit you, and that day's coming for Georgia. The question is, which nobody knows the answer to, is Jake Fromm going to be good enough to overcome that situation? And I would say history's not on his side.
See, I've been curious about this for a while, and I'm still curious about it. In some of these blowout games, if you're just lining up and mashing people, why wouldn't you do more play action on first and 10? Why wouldn't you roll him out and see if he can move the pocket? If you can move the pocket, but why wouldn't you test to see if he can make the throws that you're going to need him to make against Auburn, against Georgia Tech, against Alabama, against whoever you play in a New Year's Six or in the college football playoff? Why haven't you been developing that skill set when the games are over in a quarter?
I've asked the same question to myself, but think about this. Same question Clemson fans were asking last year. Why wouldn't you let Kelly Bryant throw the ball around a little bit when he came in the game? Why wouldn't you give him the chance to? And I think probably the honest answer is, in practice, he hasn't shown that was where, you know, he was going to excel, and they didn't want his confidence to be shaken or anything like that. So I think Jake Fromm's made some really clutch. I mean, I haven't watched a lot of Georgia games, but there have been some really good, I mean,
he's made some good throws.
Caliber,
I agree.
Higher caliber, high degree of difficulty, down the field passes. Question is, can he string a few of those together when he has to? So I think Clemson fans ask the exact same question you're asking now. And normally the case is, well, you could say we're not doing it because we don't have to do it. Or you could say they're not doing it because they don't see in practice that that's going to be profitable for them. And going against Georgia's defense, it might, I mean, he might be pretty good against a lot of other defenses, but Georgia's defense, he doesn't look quite as good because they're very good.
Well, that's true. It may be that, and then again, this goes to the Kelly Bryant thing. Like we said last year, if Deshaun Watson gets hurt, you're not winning a national championship anyway. Right. If you're trying to win a national championship, you've got to become the best championship version of yourself. Is that something that if Georgia's got to throw it 30 times, they feel like that's not good? Like, if we have to do that, we're going to lose the game anyway.
Well, the burden is on other teams to stop or slow their running.
Right.
And until somebody does, they're not even going to go down that road. So it's on Auburn to slow down that running game and force Georgia to do something that they don't feel they need to do or want to do otherwise. But this is a hocus-pocus kind of game. Over the last few decades, it's a you can't really explain it. I mean, weird fumbles. I mean, what, 3 years ago they beat Georgia?
Yeah.
In the year they didn't even have a winning record. Yeah. Beat Georgia at home, got the first down, you know, half an inch. It's a weird game, but I think the lack of depth at South Carolina, if they keep it tough, Georgia in the third and fourth quarter is just going to be too much for them. The depth isn't going to be there defensively. They'll just be worn down because they don't have the guys to rotate in.
Georgia's.
I don't think Clemson has the depth right now on defense to be able to just roll it all game. And I think Clemson's trying to build that depth and working this year to get to that point. But I certainly don't think South Carolina does yet.
11th in the conference on third down defense, South Carolina. Georgia's 5th in the country, third down offense. That's going to be a problem. You got to win first down. But if it's 3rd and 4 or less, you feel like Georgia is going to line up and hit South Carolina. And let's be frank. Georgia, that defense hadn't been super tested, but they've been tested enough that you know they're pretty good. South Carolina's defense hadn't been tested either. Arkansas looks hideous. Missouri's pretty good offensively, but we know that, you know, if you can keep their defense on the field for, you know, 2/3 of the game, it's not a big deal. I just feel like this is going to be one of those times where South Carolina's been very good because they've had manageable tasks to this point. They've managed them. And with Georgia, this is not a manageable task any longer. Is that a fair way to frame it?
But the thing is, what Will Muschamp has needed is momentum, and he has momentum. And whatever happens this weekend is not going to stop that. And just momentum, staying off the hot seat. Recruits don't know about the details as much as the fans do. So when they come on a recruit visit and it says we went 8-4 or whatever, and, you know, we one of the teams improving their record, whatever, faster than anybody. Recruits don't know that they barely beat La Tech. They don't
right.
know that. It's not that important. The fans will talk about that. Oh, you were lucky to beat La Tech. Well, recruits don't even know that. So they've got to have momentum and recruits that want to go be a part of that program. And I think right now he's trending in the direction he needs to be.
Before we get to Clemson, Hadley went 6-4 last week with the picks. So she is, are we ready with George's picks? Are we ready?
I was just going to say Hadley whooped me last week. So
Hadley was really good.
There is that.
She was really good last week.
She picked a couple of surprises. She had Boston College over Florida State.
She had Iowa State, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
She knows her stuff.
She did. So she has handed the baton off.
2-year-old.
To sister Georgia, who's going to pick games for us this week.
She basically said, look, Kelly's too easy to beat. So I'm going to let my younger sister try to beat her.
Let's see what Georgia had to say.
Okay, this is our first shot at Georgia's picks. Georgia, are you ready?
Yeah.
Do you know how to do it?
Yeah.
I'm going to say two teams, and you pick one of those teams, okay?
Hey.
Syracuse at Florida State. Who's it going to be, Syracuse or Florida State?
Clemson.
Okay, but yeah, I got to pick one, Syracuse or Florida State?
Florida State.
Florida or Missouri?
Missouri?
Yeah. Texas or TCU?
TCU.
Iowa State or West Virginia?
West Virginia.
West Virginia, okay. Penn State or Michigan State?
Michigan State.
Stanford or Washington State?
Washington State.
Oklahoma or Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State, okay. Virginia Tech or Miami? You have the same logic as your sister sometimes on these picks. Arizona or Southern Cal?
Seventh Cloud.
Clemson or NC State?
Clemson.
And what do you think the score will be? What two numbers?
Two.
Who's going to get two?
Clemson. Me.
Clemson's going to get two or NC State's going to get two?
I guess Clemson.
Clemson, that's right. 2-0 Clemson. And who do you think is going to win the South Carolina-Georgia game? Who are you going to pick, South Carolina or Georgia?
South Carolina.
You're kidding me. Your name's Georgia and you're going to pick South Carolina?
Yeah.
You really?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything you want to say to the listeners?
Yes.
What? Say, my name's Georgia.
My name is Georgia.
And I have a lot of candy.
I have lots of candy.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Very good. Thanks, Georgia. I love that she really bucked conventional wisdom there and went with the Gamecocks over the Bulldogs.
Straight up.
Over her namesake.
Straight up.
That's unbelievable. All right, Clemson and NC State. Fletcher, I firmly believe that we can miss this game if we act like it was contested close and nip and tuck struggle and now we're going on the road. Clemson outgained NC State by 200 yards last year and turned over 3 times inside the 5, and I think 4 times inside the red zone or something that Clemson came up empty. Is that too simplistic? Am I giving Clemson too much of a pass for last year? How do you see it?
A member of Clemson's staff told me in the last year that NC State has been one of the, regardless of what the scoreboard said, NC State's been one of the toughest outs for them, you know, last couple of years.
I think that's fair.
I think they're the team that their record the last few years is the poorest indication of how good they were. And some of that's just maybe just not being able to figure out how to win in close games or something. And that's the one thing Clemson's figured out. Obviously lost to Syracuse earlier this year, but Clemson finds a way to pull through, especially in those games that they should win. But NC State averaged, I think I got this right, they averaged 2.1 yards a carry against Notre Dame. Notre Dame's defense that good?
They're pretty good. I do think that's a little bit of an eye-opener, though.
They gave up 318 yards rushing against Notre Dame. This was last week. This wasn't like first week of the year or whatever. I think Bradley Chubb obviously could cause some problems. I think this is where one of those games where your playmakers have to make plays. And I think we throw that term around, make plays, a lot. Nobody really thinks about it as much. That's when you take a play that's drawn up to gain 6 yards and you make it like a 30-yard touchdown. You know, or you get to the quarterback. You don't just get to him for a sack, but you knock the ball loose. Somebody else picks it up, takes it for a touchdown. They have some game-breaker type guys. And this is one thing I went back and looked at. I thought about the losses Clemson's had the last 2 years or 3 years, whatever, to Alabama, Pittsburgh, and Syracuse. And there is one common denominator in at least 2 of those 3 games. And there was a tight end that had his best day of the season. It's kind of like Clemson's been good at, if they know what they think you're going to do and what you're going to try to do with the ball, they're okay with that. But where people have had a little bit of success against Venables is you've got maybe an underutilized guy or a better weapon than your offense really gives him credit for so far. A little bit of a scheme. And that was the one time, you know, O.J. Howard career day, had like a third of his receiving yards for the entire season in one game. Had 2 touchdowns. I think those were his only 2 touchdowns of the year. Then you've got Scott Orndorff at Pittsburgh, who has 9 receptions, which is really just hands-offs, essentially, you know, a little shuffle pass, for 128 yards and 2 TDs. He had 5 TDs all year. Both those guys are in the NFL right now. I'm wondering, I know Jalen Samuels is not a true tight end, but is he that kind of mismatch kind of guy that it's hard for teams to match up against, hard for teams to defend? You can move him around, line him up in a lot of spots. If I'm NC State, I mean, Nyheim Hines, is that how you say his name?
Yes.
He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. Finley's a good quarterback. But Jalen Samuels, I'm wondering if he could be the guy to be the wrinkle that Brent Venables has trouble. This is a kitchen sink game for NC State, right? I mean, they're going to bring plays. They're going to have a bag full of tricks, whatever it takes, because this is a signature win. I'd have all kind of formations, several different formations, looks, plays, putting that guy in places that Brent Venables isn't expecting and see if you can get some mismatches.
With NC State, I agree that they've got some matchup issues. If Hines is 100%, which I'm not sure he will be after getting hurt last week, which is a big reason why they didn't run it as well against Notre Dame.
Sure.
If he's not 100%, that's a big deal. Samuel, to me, Jalen Samuels is a guy who if you've got linebackers that are slow of foot, that he can exploit those matchups. And if you got safeties on him, he can exploit those matchups. To me, having Dorian O'Daniel out there to maybe shadow Samuels, he takes him out of the box, out of the run game, but that might be the way to go. And if you've got a little bit sleeker, a little bit, you know, more slender linebackers, not the Ben Bulwares that are better going downhill, but guys that can pivot and go back into coverage, I feel like that takes it away a little bit. And as much as NC State, I mean, you would agree, it feels like NC State's offense dialed Clemson up last year. It feels like they hit some plays and they got mismatches and Clemson looked out of sorts defensively. And I'm not even sure they got to 300 yards last year. I'd have to look back at it. I'm not even sure they got to 300 yards. So even given that, are they going to be that much better this year? That much more capable of exploiting Clemson's defense this year?
I don't know. I think you have to have an adequate quarterback. And I think Finley is that guy. But he is a statue. I mean, he's not a threat. And like we've been saying all year, you know, everybody knows. If you got a running quarterback, it makes it harder on the defense.
Right.
And he's not that guy. And so that's why I say their playmakers have got to make plays. And we're so quick laterally. That's why, that, you know, even Jalen Samuels, some of those plays where they'll bring him in motion and he'll take it around the end and just outrun people. We don't see people do that against Clemson's defense very often. It's just pure execution. You know, you run a very good route, your quarterback puts it in the right spot, completion. You know, like Ishmael did against, is it Ishmael? Syracuse receiver.
Yeah, Ishmael.
Ishmael and the quarterback Dungy did. I mean, they both had great games. And so I don't see just stretching the field. I think NC State's, they're very legit. I expect Clemson to go up there and take care of business. I think the fact that it's, you know, kind of a Super Bowl for them, I think that plays in our favor. I think we play better in the bigger games. And that's what Florida State did back in the day. The bigger the light, the brighter the lights, the more they just punish you and wish you hadn't shown up. And that's kind of the way Clemson's been a little bit the last few years.
All right, so before we let you run, the picks, Georgia, South Carolina. Georgia, I think it's like 15.5 or 16, something like that. Let me check it real quick. Do you think that's about right?
15.5, 16. I think that will not look probable maybe at halftime, but by the fourth quarter, I think they'll come.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When
I was looking at the wrong one.
It was at 24.
Yeah, 23.5. Sorry, 23.5. Yeah, I don't know what I was looking at before.
Georgia's favored by 23.
Georgia's favored by 23.5 over South Carolina, yeah. Hmm. Are they going to just pound South Carolina like everybody else?
I don't know if it'd be that much, but, you know, I think this is the game where South Carolina realizes their offense has a long way to go. Like, the teams they beat the last few weeks been good primers, but this defense is going to make them realize not only do they miss Deebo Samuel, but they got a long way to go before they're going to be effective against a stout defense.
And then quickly, Clemson, NC State, 7.5. Clemson favored in Raleigh.
I think Clemson will. It might not be 14 or something, but I think it could be 10. I think Clemson could win by 10.
Very good.
Kelly Bryant, I think, could be a little more healthy this week than he was last week.
What's going on, Nationwide Insurance and Central?
Call me. Come see me. FletcherAnderson.net. Insurance. You got to buy it. Buy it from somebody that cheers for the Tigers, of course.
Very good.
Required.
Thanks, Fletcher. We appreciate it.
Get the mirror fixed in the bathroom.
There we go. Back for more after this.
The Clemson Tigers Network. The Clemson Tigers are on the road this Saturday.
Let's go!
Join the Clemson Tigers Network as we invade Carter-Finley Stadium to take on NC State. It was a hard-fought battle last year, but the Tigers came out on top. The Wolfpack have a chip on their shoulder, and it's going to take the Tigers to knock it off. Tigers football this Saturday on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Game day starts with the Tiger pregame show on the flagship station for Clemson football, 105.5 The Roar.
CMH Services has again been recognized as an MVP dealer by the material handling industry's leading trade organization, MHEDA, for 5 consecutive years. In earning the award, CMH Services demonstrated excellence in the areas of industry advocacy, customer service and safety, business networking, continuing education, and business best practices. Get award-winning material handling solutions at CMH Services. Call 800-922-9569. That's 800-922-9569.
Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca have that championship connection. Carol Tyler, class of 84, and Herb Tyler, class of 82, are rooted in the Clemson culture and deliver only what you've come to expect. Championship-style food and number one customer service. It's always their pleasure to serve you. Visit Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca and get that championship feeling. Or go online at ilovechickfil-a.com and order the tailgate trays that make every game day a championship day.
Be part of football and the success of the Clemson Tigers. Rhino Sports and Entertainment Services is hiring ushers and ticket scanners for Clemson football games. Join our friendly staff with pay ranges from $8.50 to $10 per hour. Be at the game and get paid. Go to rhinosportsandentertainment.com and apply to the Clemson branch under employment. Rhino like the animal, sportsandentertainment.com or call 864-643-5044. rhinosportsandentertainment.com.
Retrauma, in cooperation with Ready SC, is seeking applicants for full-time direct hire second shift positions at its new facility and more. Employment opportunities include coding, casting machine operators, material handlers, and converting, slitting operators. Retrauma manufactures a full line of pressure-sensitive adhesive rolled stock material for the beverage, health, and beauty, OEM, graphics, and industrial markets. Retrauma offers competitive wages and full benefits package. Go to sctechjobs.com for full descriptions and to apply today. Retrauma is an equal opportunity employer.
For your last-minute tailgate or football watching party supplies, Locomart is the best place to go. You can get stocked up with their huge selection of craft beers that you won't find at any other convenience store. Need snacks? Got you covered. And rewards that help you save even more money. The who's who of Clemson sideliners shop at Locomart, shouldn't you? Locomart, Old Greenville Highway and 123, proudly locally owned and operated, Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Hi guys, this is Leah from Local Q, inviting you to join us all football season to watch your favorite teams. We are ready. With DirecTV's complete sports package and over 28 TVs, you won't miss a college or pro game. Check out our game day specials on snacks and beer buckets. You can get all the details at localq.com. Visit us at 30 Orchard Park Drive or order online at localq.com. Remember, we're 21 and up at all times with a valid ID. Local Q, the place to connect for beer, barbecue, and board games.
Everyone has someone in their lives that could use a little surprise, a little pick-me-up. You want to deliver those smiles, but who has the time? School, work, and more. Try Urban Nirvana's online gift certificate. Buy and print it right from your own computer. A great way to treat your wife for making all those tailgate preparations, your college student for all the hard work, or mom just because. Online purchase and print from your computer only at urbannirvana.com.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case. But they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
But Thompson King Law Firm, 222-0200.
When playing football for Coach Sweeney, I learned the value of hard work and doing things the right way. My name is John Wright Jr., and now that I'm in the field of commercial real estate, I have the opportunity to apply those principles in my daily business. If you're in the market for buying, selling, or leasing property from office or retail to industrial or land, then let me know at McCoyWright.com. That's McCoyWright.com, where we will do our best to ensure your success. And remember, if it's not McCoy Wright, it's not right.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
I want to love you. Be pretty young thing. You need some loving. Send a loving care. And I'll take it there. Girl. Ooh. I want to love you. Be
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. I believe Fletcher Anderson just said Kelly Gramlich in different words that Clemson is a big game program. Did you hear that from Fletcher?
Someone's been saying that.
Someone Ben said that. That was you?
That was me.
You've been saying it.
And you didn't really like when I said it. And I didn't mean it as a negative thing, but it's just interesting how every big game this year, Clemson has been very, very good. That's kind of what I'm saying. That's the positive part of it, is Clemson gets up. If Clemson's playing a ranked team, that ranked team better watch out. That's what we've seen so far this year.
Can I be a little insensitive to people? Can I be a little insensitive just a little bit?
I guess so.
I think Clemson cares more about playing on the road than in front of its fans. And I think Clemson emotionally is more dialed in when they go on the road. Don't you get a sense that Kelly Bryant loves playing on the road?
I think a lot of teams are like that.
The defense loves playing on the road. Like Alabama, we talk about, if you want to beat Alabama, get them at home. Get them at home some game when they're unsuspecting, when there's a big road game the next week, or when they're feeling really good about themselves. But if they're going to your place, forget about it. You're not beating them.
I mean, I think there's something to that. Of course, Clemson's one loss this year did come on the road, so there is that.
True story.
But I don't think that that's a shot or a disrespectful thing towards Clemson and the Clemson home stadium. That's not it at all. I think a lot of people just really enjoy playing on the road. There's a different atmosphere where people are yelling at you, not for you. It's just kind of fun.
Us against the world, whatever. Is this Rob that called in before that we had to cut off? Yeah, with that heartbreak at the top of the hour, it ruins lives. I understand. It's a product of the system we operate in. We'll go back to the Northern Communication phone lines. We'll let Rob finish up his thought. Rob, we apologize. Thanks for getting back in.
No, totally fine. Your show, man. I get it. How you doing?
Man, we're doing great. Yeah, I know you had just said one more thing real quick, and then unfortunately we had to go.
One thing I noticed last year about the NC State game, and I totally agree with what you guys were just talking about, but one thing I noticed from the opening kickoff till the end of the game, although we won it, thank God, NC State came out and they smacked us in the mouth, and on every single play they punched us like we've never been hit before. And I think it just kind of threw us off our game. But on the flip side, I think it really prepared us well for the national championship game, because up until then, we've not seen a defense that has hit us like that. It kind of goes back to what you guys were saying the other day, you know, Florida State, they'll take a personal foul just to make you know they're there. And last year, NC State just, I remember talking with some people at, you know, end of the first quarter about, my God, man, they're just smacking the crap out of us. And I think that, in my opinion, was the biggest difference in that game last year. I don't know that offense was so much of an issue as it was just the way they hit us. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, Rob. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for getting back in, and we appreciate the thoughts today. I think there's something to that. NC State did a little better on offense upon further review than I thought that they did. Clemson still outgained it by 100 yards. They only completed half of their passes. So, again, it wasn't like the great Ryan Finley, who's amazing and has never done anything wrong in his whole life. Apparently, he did some stuff wrong against Clemson because he threw two picks last year. They averaged 4 yards a carry. Clemson, meanwhile, averaged 3 yards a carry. They knocked out Wayne Gallman, which that should be probably a little bit of... That shit. Wait, is that a salt producing anecdote from last year that Dave Doran bragged about hurting Wayne Gallman?
If I remember correctly, it was a targeting hit that was not called, correct? On
yes.
Wayne Gallman?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that play. I mean, everyone does.
He like spun through the air.
Yeah.
He was only hit by the crown of the helmet the crown of the helmet. NC State also had 13 penalties for 120 yards last year against Clemson. 13 for 120. And this year, they're averaging almost 7 penalties a game for 53 yards, and that is 11th in the ACC in both per game.
Adding on to that, I interviewed Hunter Renfro for the pregame show. You can hear that on Saturday. And I asked him about NC State, and he said this was kind of unprovoked. He just put this out there. The two hardest times he's been hit in college, he said it was 2015 at NC State on a punt and last year against NC State. I didn't ask him. Wow. When's the hardest time you've been hit? He just told me that in when he was talking about NC State, because he says they're very physical, but he says that the two hardest times he's been hit as a Clemson Tiger were both against NC State. That kind of surprised me, but it speaks to his point.
That is a little bit shocking. That's a little bit shocking. Again, I don't want to minimize the task here, but I do think we can misconstrue what happened in the game last year. Like NC State just came out and blew Clemson's doors off, and Clemson was just lucky to survive. Clemson on the scoreboard was lucky to survive, but in this particular, like if I'm looking to carry last year's game over to this year's game, one thing you have to do is you have to look at the way the game was contested. Clemson this year has been way better in the red zone. That's the reason that Clemson didn't win by 21 last year. It's because Clemson was way bad in the red zone. Way bad in the red zone. Three turnovers inside the 10, like in goal-to-go situations.
Terrible.
They turn it over three times. Clemson's probably, again, you don't want to say for sure, they're probably not going to do that again. I feel like if we assume that Clemson's going to turn over three times in the red zone, we'd just be ignoring empirical evidence from this year versus last year.
Yes. That being said, I don't think you should paint it that Clemson completely dominated the game and it was literally just turnovers.
Right.
That caused
it to be close. They didn't dominate the game.
I mean,
they
didn't dominate the game. Still had 400 yards of total offense.
Right.
They were 7 of 15 on third down. I mean, NC State was good. The time of possession was exactly the same. They turned it over twice. Clemson, obviously, with the four turnovers. Again, I think the penalties were a bad thing for NC State. And Clemson only had five.
I'm going to go back and watch the game. The Ben Boulware matchup to exploit, it was there for the taking, and they took it. Is there a matchup on Clemson's team this year that you can take and exploit to that extent?
You can't really exploit Trey Lamar.
In pass coverage.
It's kind of tough to exploit Trey Lamar.
I mean, if Dorian O'Daniel, Brent Venables smarter than me. If O'Daniel lines up across from Jalen Samuel and becomes a spy for their matchup problem, does NC State move it? Dabo went on for like 9 years about their receivers. Who is another receiver on their team? Hines is the back. Samuel's the tight end. Who's a receiver? I don't have a dog. I've watched them four times this year. Couldn't name one receiver on their team. No idea. I think Dabo did it on purpose.
Here's my main question with NC State for Clemson defensively.
They're big guys. 6'3", 6'2", 6'2", 6'4". They're big guys, but eh.
And this pertains to my point. I don't worry about Clemson's defensive line. I am actually really excited to see how Clemson's linebackers perform. The secondary for the Tigers, mainly because of injuries on top of injuries, I worry a bit about that because NC State, yes, they have two guys that stand out and they have some bigger guys that can catch the ball. But Ryan Finley can sling it. I mean, he can. And so with how hurt the secondary is and how young they are, I think that if you're concerned about something going into this game, it's the secondary against Ryan Finley.
Let's take one more phone call before we hit our next break. And we got to talk about Kelly's, the crush that Kelly has, her lady crush, woman crush, one man crush on one team from the Big 12.
I mean, I think it's just a crush. Yeah. I think either a man or a woman could have this crush on this team.
As David Archuleta says, I know this crush ain't going away. Yay, yay.
Wow.
Let's go to Jeff.
David Archuleta.
Yeah. Jeff is up with us next on the phone. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Quok. I kind of have just like a funny story that I heard last night. The game 7 was just ending, and I cut on WTCP just to see what you guys play at night because I never listened before.
Yes.
And it was a Pharrell show, and he's talking about how Dodger fans are all upset in traffic 2 hours and, you know, mad about the loss. And then right after that, a guy from Scott from South Carolina calls, and he's like, he admits he's a Gamecock fan, and he goes on and on about how Clemson hasn't played anybody and why they're number 4 in the rankings. He repeats, Clemson hasn't played anybody like 3 or 4 times. And Pharrell lets him go on like a pretty long rant. And then to Pharrell's credit, at least he says after he's like, well, Clemson has beaten 2 top 15 teams and, you know, people think they're a legitimate team. And then basically he hung up on the guy and said, like, no one agrees with you. I don't know what your problem with Clemson is. Not understanding the rivalry, obviously. And I think it was kind of cool to see a national, even like national hosts who aren't really big college football people, still like, you know, at this point they respect Clemson, that even with a loss to, you could say a bad loss to Syracuse, people still respect him, and he wasn't having any of the Gamecock fan nonsense about just Clemson hasn't played anybody. I think the guy was trying to slip one past the national host, but it didn't work, and I thought that was pretty funny.
Jeff, I'm glad. Is it the guy that called us yesterday afternoon under a different pseudonym? I mean, it very well could be.
I mean, I think I think he went by Scott. Scott. On the national show, so I don't know if it's the same guy.
That's just funny.
But it's pretty funny, I thought.
Jeff, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Thanks for sharing, because I was not listening to Pharrell last night, but I'm sure Pharrell gave him the business. We appreciate that.
To me, the best part about the call yesterday and South Carolina fans with the whole Clemson hasn't played anybody. Look in the mirror. I mean, if your schedule was tough this year, then you could say something. But my gosh, that schedule is terrible.
Is it okay? Is it okay if I use S&P for a minute? Can I use S&P for just a minute?
If you're going to use something to prove how horrendous South Carolina's schedule is, you can use whatever you want.
South Carolina's schedule, are you ready for this? In the S&P Plus, which includes FBS. It doesn't include FCS. It's just FBS. Here are the rankings of South Carolina's opponents. 35, 57, 83, 81. La Tech ranks ahead of Kentucky, by the way. 72, 99, 103, 84. The second best team in the S&P Plus that South Carolina has played this year is, in fact, Missouri.
Wow.
Missouri. The third best team in the S&P Plus is 72nd ranked Texas A&M. Clemson in the S&P Plus this year, 129, Kent State, terrible. 10, 42, 76, 15, 24, 63, 46. So the fifth best team that Clemson played in the S&P Plus is Louisville. The sixth best team that Clemson played in the S&P Plus is Georgia Tech.
Wow. And one more thing, too. When people, I think the guy yesterday was throwing Kent State at Clemson. Like, Clemson schedules a lower group of five that's terrible every year. Clemson played Troy last year. It's not like the Tigers have this reputation of scheduling terrible group of fives.
Right.
Troy beat LSU this year, and Clemson struggled to beat Troy, but it was a great test. Just don't come at me with this idea that Clemson only schedules terrible group of five teams. That's absurd.
The second easiest game that Clemson's had this year is Boston College. You know how many of South Carolina's opponents rank between Kent State and Boston College in the S&P? Let me make sure this is right. Five of the eight. Five. Five of the eight. And the sixth easiest is A&M at 72, which is basically BC. Give me a break on that. Short break. We'll come back. We'll talk this Big 12 program, I promise, coming up next.
Hey, Clemson fans, join Mickey Plyler live at Chick-fil-A of Clemson on Tiger Boulevard this Friday from 6 until 9. Get your favorite Chick-fil-A breakfast and stop by and listen to Mickey's update analysis of college football at Chick-fil-A on Tiger Boulevard in Clemson.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, we're in Tiger Town. Founders Federal Credit Union is in Clemson for all your financial needs. With products and services like free checking with e-statements, loans for all reasons, the Founders app with mobile deposit and Founders online, you can be all in at Founders and all in with your national champion, Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Clemson continues to prepare for their trip to Raleigh Saturday to take on the Wolfpack of NC State. There have been some great games here recently against the Wolfpack. Go back to 2001. Woody Dantzler gained 517 yards of total offense. At that time, an all-time Clemson record. Dantzler had a career-best 23 of 27 passing for 333 yards and four scores. He also rushed for 184 and had two more touchdowns in that game. 2009, C.J. Spiller accounts for touchdowns passing, rushing, and receiving to lead Clemson to a 20-point victory. Jamie Harper also had a 69-yard touchdown run. Kyle Parker went 12 of 18 passing for 183 yards and two touchdowns in that game. 2012, Clemson clinches its first 10-win regular season since 1981 with a 62-48 victory over NC State. That happened here in Clemson. The Tigers had a run of 42 consecutive points. Taj Boyd had just a great game as he threw for 426 yards. He also ran for 103, giving him a new Clemson record of 529 yards of total offense. And our report is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers.
I built this business, watched it grow, seen my internet bill from AT&T kept growing too.
Then I heard Spectrum Business would help buy out my contract. That's different.
That's because with Spectrum Business, you don't have to sign a contract to get our best price. 100 meg internet for just $44.99 a month when bundled. Call 888-845-8349.
Glad I switched. Now I'm paying a lot less and getting better internet and phone service.
And with Spectrum Business Voice, you get unlimited calling for only $29.99 a month. No taxes, no hidden fees, and no contracts. So don't get stuck paying for overpriced service. Spectrum Business will buy out your contract so you can save with 100 meg internet for only $44.99 a month when bundled with voice for $29.99 a month. No taxes, no hidden fees, and no contracts. Call 888-845-8349. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Fall is a great time to play golf. Come out November 10th to Arrowhead Point's Open House. Noon shotgun start and just $25 per player. Sign up as a foursome, or we'll pair you on a team if you're a single. Wilson, Cobra, and Bridgestone will be on the driving range demonstrating their products. Lunch at 11, and there'll be on-course games. Arrowhead Point's Open House, Friday, November 10th. Space is limited, so sign up now at 706-283-6000. Arrowhead Point on Richard B. Russell Lake, Alberton.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
I'm Guy, the insurance guy. Did you know that only 5% of HR execs believe employees truly understand their benefits? This may be related to the fact that the vast majority of enrollments, 71%, are passive. Insurance is an abstract and very complex product, so clear, effective communication is critical. Without it, everyone has headaches and is left in the dark. Did you know that with effective communication, even a below average plan has 76% employee satisfaction? If employees don't understand something, it has little to no value. If it has no value, employees leave. Don't get taken to the cleaners. Call us, 864-INSURE-YOU. I'm Guy, the insurance guy. My company is The Insurance Source, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
They never lose their cool.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. I'm so curious to get into this, like into the weeds of why in the world Kelly Gramlich is infatuated with one of these teams. We will get to it as we discuss the You Pick 'em games, because we're going down them, and storylines abound in these games.
Got time, but I don't mind.
Got to get a couple of these. You know, we'll talk picks tomorrow. We'll get initial thoughts on some of these games. The Florida situation, what is going on in Florida? They have changed their backup quarterback, and I'm interested to hear Kelly's thoughts, and I've given my thoughts on the Florida situation, who's going there. We haven't really talked about it that much. But I want to go down to the game that you can access via Country Roads.
Take me home to the place.
It's West Virginia, and Iowa State is going there. Well, you know how I feel about West Virginia. Mountain mama. You know how I feel about West Virginia at home as opposed to West Virginia on the road, that I always take West Virginia on at home.
You didn't last week.
Never on the road except when I feel like doing the opposite. Last week, obviously, I took Oklahoma State. Cha-ching. Got them.
I don't want to talk about
it. But that check mark, like the magic pen, writing the check mark on the paper.
All right. Can we reveal the team?
Yeah. Which one of these teams are you infatuated by?
I have a serious football crush on Iowa State, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Well, you lean into it, embrace it, first of all.
Well, I'm trying, but I'm also, it scares me. It scares me because I really think Iowa State could end this thing at any moment.
Oh, they're going to turn into
and
pumpkin
come right
at some point.
Back to reality.
They are basically doing this on the razor's edge right now. They are tightrope walking across the Big 12 is what's happening, and they haven't fallen off yet. They're not as good as TCU, and they're not as good as Oklahoma, and they're not as good as Oklahoma State.
But per the head-to-head, they're better than both of those teams.
But they have got wins over these teams. Here are some of the teams that they've beaten so far this year. This is a very impressive resume of wins. Their losses aren't terrible. Iowa, Texas. Again, we're looking at S&P.
Remember when we thought Texas's 17-7 win in Ames was a bad win?
Yeah, that's a good. Is that the best win Texas has this year?
Gotta be.
Isn't it?
And, well, that was pre-Kyle Kemp.
It was. It was Jacob Park who they went from Jacob Park to Kyle Kemp, the walk-on who never played, and all of a sudden they're great now. They have won two games where their pregame win expectancy was 37%, 35% at Oklahoma and TCU at home. Based on what we know now, they have another top 50 win at Texas Tech. The last four games, they have scored 38, 45, 31, and then 14. What I said about Georgia winning multiple ways, they've won giving up 31, and they've won giving up 7. They've won scoring 38, and they've won scoring 14. This is a team that's proven they can win up-tempo games, and they've won proven they can win with a little bit of ball control and punting. I'm looking at S&P today. Mostly, you want to tell the people why I'm going S&P. I've been going FPI, but I'm using S&P. And you hate when I get in the weeds with numbers, but you actually are okay with this right now.
FPI is kind of on the dead to me list at
okay.
this point. Because
okay.
what did you say Florida State is currently ranked in the FPI?
They're ranked like 22.
How can you trust
ridiculous.
A metric that still has Florida State ranked in the top 30 teams in the country?
I know.
That's the problem.
Let me check that real quick because it was 22. I know last week it was like 21 or 22. This week, let me see what Florida State real quick, what they're ranked. They're 22. They're ranked 22nd.
Because S&P has them, what, 75th?
They're ranked ahead of Georgia Tech. Yeah, S&P has them 75, which is a much better metric to gauge, honestly. Much better way of gauging. So I'm done with FPI, and I'm going with S&P this week because they have Florida State like 50 spots lower than S&P. And we think the S&P at 75 is closer than the FPI at 22. So looking at S&P, they've got two top 15 wins, which is unbelievable. That's not polls. But they also have this thing called adjusted scoring margin. And in both of those games against Oklahoma and TCU, a lot of things inside the game went their way. They got some breaks to the point that the adjusted scoring margin in both those games is Iowa State minus 3.1 and Iowa State minus 3.5, meaning that the adjusted score margin, the way the game was contested, means that Oklahoma and TCU probably should have won anyway. So there's, to some degree, Iowa State is doing this with a little bit of luck. They're doing it because they're turning, their difference between their actual turnover margin and their expected turnover margin is astronomical. Their turnover luck in terms of points per game is adding. Again, I don't expect people to understand this. This is math, people. Their turnover luck is adding 5.2 points to their score per game this year because the way that the games have been contested, their expected turnover margin is plus 1.7 and their actual is plus 10.
Okay. Wow. Let
that
me tell you why I love Iowa
that
State.
That was a lot.
Can
why
I
do you love,
you
Iowa
why
State?
I love Iowa State?
I just gave you reasons why it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors with Iowa State. So you tell me why you love
it. And I mean, I'm not going to deny that. Like you said, I like how they can win pretty much any way possible. They beat Oklahoma in a shootout. They beat TCU in a knockout dragout. And they do this crazy thing in the Big 12 where they play defense. It's crazy. They play defense. And I think I've always thought this with the Big 12. If you aren't a blue blood in that conference, which really right now it's OU and Oklahoma State, if you count currently being dominant in that league, if you aren't one of those teams and cannot get all those recruits that come out of Texas and some in Oklahoma and some in Louisiana, if you don't have those abilities, you have to become a run-first, defensive-minded team. I think that's the way to do it in the Big 12. To counter the ultimate overcorrection with OU and Oklahoma State, you become like an Iowa State. I think Texas had some success this year, really not necessarily in the win column, but they've showed improvement because they've become a run-first, defense-first team. Now, their defense has struggled at times, but they have recruited talent on defense. So the way that you counteract the Oklahoma schools and their crazy offenses, I think, is you kind of go the opposite way. And we've seen that with TCU. That's where TCU is kind of having their success, is defensively and running the ball. So I like that from Iowa State, that they have taken the road less traveled in the Big 12, and it's actually become successful for them. And the bottom line with Iowa State, Kwok, if they had not lost to Iowa in overtime in Ames, where Iowa scored at the very end, Iowa State could be in the playoff discussion.
They really could.
Because they'd have one loss.
They really could. And that win against, or that loss against Iowa is not a bad loss.
No.
The loss home to Texas is their worst loss this
sure.
year.
Or even if they had found a way to beat Texas. I mean, either one of those, they could be in the conversation. Now, their schedule remaining, they have to go to West Virginia. They host Oklahoma State. They go to Baylor. They go to Kansas State. Reality tells us they finish maybe 8-4, maybe 9-3, something like that, right? Because they might lose at West Virginia, and they might lose to Okie State. They finish 8-4.
You know,
that's what reality tells us, but that's not what my crush on Iowa State tells me.
We need a post show with a smart board so that I can do some of this. There's a great that one of my favorite websites just to get nerdy, just outright nerdy. It's called footballstudyhall.com. They use a lot of S&P stuff, and that's how I access some analytics. There's a story there, and Kelly, if you're not afraid, you can go there and click on it and read some of the stuff. It's called Is Iowa State Ascending? It's a really good breakdown from last Friday. I think that's right. And it goes in depth into some of the schematic adjustments that they've made and some of the things that they've done, some of the ways that they're creating havoc with their linebackers and confusing people.
I'm kind of scared to really dive into the numbers because I think that will tell me what I don't want to hear. You know what I mean?
Well, there's some really good stuff in some of the adjustments that they made that are genius, that have confused people and disrupted. They use their linebackers in unique ways. It's kind of fun. If you're not afraid of the math and you're not afraid to read some good analysis, it's a good read to try to understand how they're doing this and why it's important.
Quickly, two things I've learned about my new favorite program, Iowa State. They haven't won a conference title in 105 years. So there is that. But
yes.
There's good news. They have, in Ames, a 44-game streak of at least 50,000 people in the stands.
Really?
And they've been bad.
They've been really bad.
But CBS calls it an inexplicable 44-game streak of at least 50,000 fans in the stands.
That's pretty remarkable.
The top 10 most attended games have all come since 2011, when Iowa State has been mostly terrible. They
Yikes.
Love them up there, and I think I'm slowly becoming a Cyclone.
There's one other thing that you love about Iowa State.
And we will get to that
in hour three. In fact, let's do it before we talk to Brian Edwards coming up next. Brian Edwards is going to join us, our Vegas insider, senior handicapper. He picks winners every week. He can pick winners for you for entertainment purposes only. He'll handicap some of these games. Hour two is in the books. Hour three, Out of Bounds, is next.
Safely in the Priority One studios, we are WCCP Clemson Greenville, 105.5 The Roar.